I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, but I'll lead you through the reading. Today we want to talk about embracing what's next. So as we finish off this year and get ready for the new year, so we want to talk about just what hinders us embracing what's next. So we want to learn a little something from this story in Numbers chapter 13, or be reminded of something. Numbers chapter 13, embracing what's next. It's our theme for our sermon today. Starting at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am given to the people of Israel. From every tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel. Go to verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, or whether the cities that dwell in, or whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Let's go to verse 25. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. They came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all of the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." The men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they had gone up with him and said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." Verse 32. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, son of Anak. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them." Chapter 4, verse 1. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. All of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the history of your word as a reminder, Lord God, of how to live and how to trust you, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that this word would land in our hearts, and as we embrace what's next, that we would be reminded that you are calling us to it, that you are drawing us to it, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So as we finish this new year and we go into the next year, I want to encourage you to embrace what is next. Our theme today, embracing what is next. I want to encourage you to embrace what is next. You know, there's always a next because God is a moving God. He's not a stagnant God. He doesn't stay still. Scripture always reminds us that God is always taking us from one level of glory to another level of glory. There's always something new. God, His kingdom is always advancing, right? There's always a plan. There's always an objective. There's always a purpose. And God is always doing something new with you and with me and with the church and our congregation and the other congregations and other His people, the body of Christ. He's always doing something new with them, with us. Here, where we have read in Numbers chapter 13, so the Israelites have been delivered from Egypt. They have been in bondage for 400 years. God moved in a mighty way throughout the 10 plagues. God had parted the sea, and they walked on dry land, right? And now they are at the brink of entering into the promised land. It had been less than 2 weeks since they left Egypt. They had now seen the hand of God, the mighty hand of God. They had seen how God has been leading them, right? A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They had eaten manna from the ground that God had supplied for them. They had seen the hand of God. Now they are at the brink of entering into the promised land. The same land that was promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob is now before them. They were told, Moses brings them the word. It says, from God, that He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the land that I have promised your forefathers. This is the land that you have been waiting for. It is the next thing for you. And they are there at the brink of this land, but because of their disobedience, because of their lack of belief, because of their mentality of who they are, because of their willingness to return back to Egypt over entering into the promised land, they spend 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert, going round and around and around and around. At the brink, at the doors of the promised land. They had not remembered the plagues. They had not remembered the hand of God devouring the Egyptian army in the sea. They had not remembered how God had supplied every need. They're at the brink of what is next. But because of their mentality, because of their lack of faith, because of their willingness to think that Egypt is better, 40 years in the desert. I wonder how many of us God has wanted to take us into the next. How many of us God has wanted to give us what He has promised. How many of us God has wanted to show us His perfect will. How many of us, but because of our mentality or our lack of faith or our flirtatious spirit with Egypt, we have missed out on the next. We have missed out on the next. I wonder how many of us God has spoken to our lives and our hearts and has told us, I got something more. And you know what I love about God? He don't forsake or abandon His people, even in our lack of disbelief. If you look at the story of 40 years, it was 40 years of stagnation. It was 40 years of nothing next, nothing new. Same manna every day. Same manna every day. They got up in the mornings, but they prepared the manna. On the Sabbath, they did not have no manna there. There was enough manna the day before for 2 days. And if you haven't read the story, it's a great story. But nothing new, no next for them. 40 years. But in that place, they saw God's presence. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. They saw God's protection in different occasions, but even the pillar of fire was a sign of protection. It kept wild animals away. And they saw also God's provision, manna. And manna is an amazing story. I love the story of manna. Manna stopped the day they entered into the promised land. But it was there for them every day for 40 years. They got up, they prepared the manna different ways. They baked it, they boiled it. There's a great story behind the manna. And the only day it wasn't there was on the Sabbath. And they were told, pick up enough manna the day before for 2 days. And it was the only day where the manna would not rot the day before. But if you tried any other day to take manna enough for 2 days, it would rot the next day. And God wanted to show them that He would provide for them every single day. It was supernatural. It was amazing that God in His sovereignty gave them manna every single day. And if they tried to hold it over for 1 day, just in case God would not come through, it would begin to breed worms. But on the day before the Sabbath, the manna was just as fresh the next day because God provided it for them. So in the desert, they saw God's presence, they saw God's power, and they saw God's provision, but they never saw the next. How many of us in the church, in the body of Christ, we're enjoying God's presence because he don't forsake no one. We're enjoying his provision because he supplies and he leads and he's a good father towards his children. We're enjoying his protection, but we're not embracing the next. How many of us perhaps have lived a life of good Christian walk, presence of God, power of God, protection of God, provision of God, but God wants to bring us to the next, embracing the next. And it's interesting that this generation never got to see the next, but the next generation did, right? I would pray that we would get to see the next. And the church says, what impedes us from seeing the next? Three things that impede us from seeing the next. That we can look at this story. Three things that impede us. And I hope that you would embrace it and understand that. And this is very individualistic, right, for me. I believe God has a next for me. He's got a next for you. And we don't know what that next all entails, but I believe it has to do with family, and it has to do with growth, and it has to do with relationships, and it has to do with ministry, and it has to do with all these things. But there is a next that God has prepared for you and I, right? And there are times we hinder it. What impedes the next? Three things. The first thing that impedes the next is the wrong mentality. Right? Wrong mentality impedes the next. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. They said this: we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. That was their mentality of themselves, grasshoppers. They had a slavery mentality. They were 400 years in Egypt, and they were slaves in Egypt. And although God had delivered them, and they had seen the power of God, they had seen the hand of God, they were seeing the provision of God, yet their mentality was still the same. They still saw themselves as slaves. They didn't see themselves as the sons of God. They didn't see themselves as those who were going to inherit the promised lands, the heirs of Abraham. No, they did not see themselves that way. They saw themselves as slaves to Egypt. That was their mentality. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They had forgotten that they were the people of God, the promised people, the children of Abraham. And they saw themselves as weak, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Many times we focus so much on the things that we cannot do, we forget who we are. And we forget that even in our weakness, God is strong. And we live ourselves like grasshoppers, bound still to things in Egypt. And we think that that is our state. And for that reason, we miss out on the next. I just can't. I'm not capable enough. I'm not able enough. I'm not smart enough. Right? I'm not gifted enough. I don't have enough friends. I don't know enough people. I don't have the position to do it. Right? And we constantly hinder the next because our mentality tells us that we can't. We seem like grasshoppers even to ourselves. And they didn't enjoy the next, because that's how they saw themselves. And at times, we don't enjoy the next because that's how we see ourselves. Look what the scriptures say. I love this verse. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. Isn't that beautiful? A newness. We too may walk in a newness of life. I am no longer a slave to Egypt. Christ has set me free. You are no longer a slave to Egypt. You are no longer bound by the ways of Egypt. Christ has set you free. And God has a next for us. And he has a next for us because we are his children. And we're entitled to the next because we're his children. So let us be careful to guard ourselves from thinking that we're not worthy. No, no, no. When we say Abba Father, there's an endearment. We are children and he is our Father. Yeah, Abba Father is a word that approaches endearment. It has the spirit of daddy in it. It has the spirit of you are my Father. And because you are my father, I have your name and I have your inheritance. And there's something special about being a child of God. And we should know that we are entitled to the next only because of Jesus. Only because of Jesus. Because we have been crucified with him, right? John writes it this way, but to all who did receive him, John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who believed in him, to all who received him, right? We are no longer slaves to this world because of Christ. We have been deemed children of God. We are kings. We are children of the King. We are children of the Father. Paul writes to us and tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Because of Christ, you and I have been bought out of slavery. The old is gone. The new has come. Perhaps you lived a life of sin before, and you're ashamed of the life of sin that you lived. The Bible teaches us that today you have been redeemed, renewed, restored, forgiven. All right? That's who you are. That's who you are. You can embrace the next because of what Christ has done in your life. Right? Perhaps you feel unworthy, but because of Christ, he bestows worthiness on you. I don't know if that means anything to you. But he bestows worthiness on us because of Christ. We are sons of God. We are sons of the King. Royal priesthood is what Scripture teaches us. Perhaps you've lived a life of sin, but today you're reminded that you are the righteousness of God. That's what the Scriptures say, the righteousness of God. You and me? Well, that's what happens when Jesus makes his throne in our hearts. He deems us righteous because he dwells in our lives. Because of that, you can embrace the next. No one has the right to preach or teach or sing or worship because of who we are. It's our relationship with Christ that gives us this allowance, that allows us to be in this place. So today, I want to remind you, as we close off our first point this morning, I want to remind you, we are not who we used to be. We're not slaves in Egypt no longer. We're not under the bondage of Pharaoh no more. We're not a part of this world no more. We are pilgrims passing through this world, and we are children of God. And maybe there's someone here who has dealt with domestic abuse, personal abuse in your life. Maybe you've been mistreated or bullied, or maybe you're suffering with low self-esteem. I want to remind you today to lift your head up high. Because of Christ, you are a beautiful person with purpose. You're a beautiful person with purpose in your life. God has a reason for you. He has a next for you. And don't let anyone ever tell you different. And the church says, see, to move on from the desert into the next, into the promised land, we must have the right mentality. The wrong mentality will always hinder us. Number two, what hinders us from the next that God has for us? Number two is always looking back towards Egypt, right? Numbers 14 says, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? This is what they want to tell Moses. Did you just not see the power of God, the 10 plagues? Did you just not see the sea part and you walk on dry land and the Egyptian army destroyed? Did you just not drink from a rock and eat manna that God has provided for you? But yet they say, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Those who flirt with Egypt, those who look back towards Egypt, will never inherit the next. Never inherit the next. You know, we understand that we all at times go through hard times in our walk with God. We all battle some level of doubt and some level of insecurity, and we all go through highs and lows, but there should never be within us this desire to go back, right? We should recognize, know that God has delivered us from that. Some people flirt with going back to the world. Every so often, they even peek back. Every so often, they look back into their own lives. Every so often, they begin to desire those things, and they want that bondage once again. You know, sometimes When we have lived in Christ for a while, we forget from where Christ has delivered us from. We forget our addictions. We forget the conflict that we had in our home. We forget our lost state. We forget how wrecked we were. We forget how broken we were. We forget what brought us to Christ. And we have lived well for a while. I love it when Jesus healed the man. For 38 years, he was paralyzed. Jesus heals him, tells him, take up your mat and walk. He finds him later on that day. And I love what Jesus tells him. He looks at him and says, wow, you are well. Because the touch of Jesus makes us well. But Jesus then tells him, go and sin no more so something worse won't happen to you. You see, sometimes we've been in this a long time and we are well. And we begin to look back again towards Egypt. Those who look back again towards Egypt will never inherit the next. Sometimes we become so mature in our walk of faith that we think that things are allowed. And things that we didn't do before, now we're allowed, right? And I'm not never talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about things that are righteous and holy and the things that really honor God. Those things are always the same. But at times, there are things that God deals with us because he deals with us all particularly. And we begin to look back at the world like if we're missing something. We begin to look back at the world like there is something better there. Those people will never have the next, because God will never entrust his next with us if we're longing and desiring the things of the world. I want to remind you today, if you keep looking back, you will never enjoy the promised land. You will never enjoy the next. We will never enjoy the fullness of serving God. We will never enjoy the new things that God has for us. We will just be in the desert. God's presence, God's protection, God's provision, because he doesn't forsake nobody. So we'll be of those that spend a lifetime in the desert, never enjoying the next, because we long more for Egypt than the next. God doesn't forsake us. He doesn't kick us to the curb. He doesn't shun us. He's still there for us, but he doesn't trust us with the next, because we're always looking to Egypt. A man once asked Jesus to follow him, to be his disciple. And Jesus looks at this man and says, come follow me. He says, let me go back and have a final conversation with my family. And Jesus tells him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the service of God. Jesus said, no one who puts their hand on the plow, no one who says, I'm ready to serve in the kingdom and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Paul reminds us to forget what is behind us and strive forward to what is ahead. Lot's wife, her love for Sodom and Gomorrah. When you look and study the life of Lot, and you'll see they had a love for Sodom and Gomorrah. They loved the wealth. They loved the prosperity of it. They loved it. They desired it. They were embedded in it. It was who they were. They loved it. And God mercifully takes them out of there because of his love for Abraham. But Lot's love for Egypt, Lot's wife's love for Sodom and Gomorrah, had her look back and it cost her her life. I want to remind you here today that for us to enjoy the next, we cannot be looking back towards Egypt. We cannot be flirting with the world. We cannot think it's okay to be a little in and a little out. We cannot think it's okay to throw ourselves into the church and at the same time share with the things of the world. I'm not talking about superficial things. I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about passion. I'm talking about longing, right? I'm talking about giving ourselves to the world and yet thinking that it's okay to give ourselves to God. God is calling this generation for consecration and separation, that there would be a difference between the church and the world, and we will never enjoy the next. Never enjoy the next. There are so many that will come and they'll say, but how come God don't this with me and God don't do that with me? And you begin to talk to them about their lives. You know, you want to fall off your chair and go, well, what could you expect? You need to be thankful that God's provision is still there. God's protection is still there and God's presence is still there. But unfortunately, you might be one of those in the desert spending a whole lifetime because you haven't been willing to give up Egypt. See, God will now take us to new levels of ministry or new levels and new things in our lives if we continue to look back. God will not give us new experiences. God will not give us a new vision. God will not give us a new revival. God will not let us see things of the next if we're always looking back. God will not let us reach for new things. God will not let us love new things because we're loving the things of the past. We're loving Egypt. God will not let us enjoy the next because we're still so focused on the past. And the church says, many never reach the new levels because they're constantly considering Egypt. So the desert becomes their resting place. The desert becomes their life. God's presence, God's protection, God's provision will be there because God is gracious. But they never enjoy the next. We want to be a people of the next. I want to be a person of the next. That our family would be a family of what God wants to do in our lives. That we would be, our church would be, that I would be, that you would be. A people that say, God, I want to embrace a new vision. I want to see what you see. I want to be able to focus on the things that you have for us. So we know that to do that, there must be a sacrifice. There must be a price that is paid. There must be a difference. If not, then all there is the desert place for us. Many never reach this new level because they're constantly considering Egypt. Many never get to enjoy the promised land. I love what the Bible says for those who really consider the law of God and the righteousness of God. The psalmist said it this way: he would be like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Isn't that great? This man, this woman will get to enjoy the promised land, the next. This person will get to enjoy the fullness that Jesus has for them. This person will be enjoy prosperity, true prosperity, not materialistic things we're not talking about here, even though God's blessings have to do with all things, right? But it will enjoy everything that God has for them. So we're talking about what impedes the next, the wrong mentality, and the love for Egypt. Looking back will always impede the next. The third and last thing, what impedes the next? the lack of faith will always impede the next. These people did not believe that God would deliver them. These Israelites, 10 of these spies that went into the promised land, they did not believe that God would deliver them. Caleb tells them this. Caleb and Joshua tell them this: only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Numbers 14:9. He was telling them, God will be with us. Don't be afraid. But they had forgotten all that God had done for them. They had forgotten the parting of the sea, the plagues, walking on dry ground. They had forgotten that God had supplied for them. They had forgotten everything. They had forgotten that God was enough for them, and they did not trust God enough for his word. We get so used to God's presence and God's provision and God's protection in the desert that we forget that God is the one who brought us through all those things. And he will give us the next. He will give us the next. The Bible reminds us that we are people of faith and we must walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible reminds us that blessed are those who trust in the Lord. I love that. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. The Bible reminds us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. There must be an act of faith on our behalf for the next. If it is all to come easy, then there's no need for faith. But for us to see the hand of God, to see the power of God, for us to see God's will, there must be an element of faith in our lives. See, we are reminded that if we trust God wholeheartedly, we will see the hand of God. There are some that say that they trust God, but they say, as long as it comes easy, then it's God's will. How many know that sometimes we see God's will with our spiritual eyes, but our human eyes, our natural eyes, do not see it. And we have to trust God for the next. You know, some say, I trust God. You know, they trust God with everything but their money. don't touch my money. Right? I'll give you my children, but not my money. Right? They trust God, right? They say they trust God, right? They say they live by faith, but they're walking around what's best for me. And if I have to lie for gain, then I'll lie for gain. And if I have to manipulate to get my way, I'll manipulate to get my way. Why? Because we won't do it the righteous way because there's a cost. So we'll try to control it our way to get our will, but then we lose out on the next. Because to enjoy the next, there must be a walk of faith. I love that Paul writes this, and he says in 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, that our faith would not rest in our own wisdom, but in the power of God. A life verse for my wife and I. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. It's a life verse for Becky and I. We trust in the Lord. You'll be called to make hard decisions. God will move in your heart to make hard decisions, but would you trust Him for it? You won't see the next unless you trust Him for it. God will move in your heart to believe Him for what's next. Would you believe that He will supply? Would you believe that He will do? Would you believe it? Because He wants to give us the next. There must be an element of faith for us to embrace the next. So as I close our sermon today, as we're approaching 11:30, and we close our sermon today, embracing the next. Remember, we're at the brink of something new, always. God is doing something new. We're at the brink of it. The wrong mentality will hinder. Oh, that's not for me. I'm not worthy. I can't. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else is smarter. Somebody else is more gifted. God will take the little that you have and He will make something great of it. The wrong mentality that says, I'm not worthy. No, no, you have been forgiven, restored, redeemed. You're a child of God. You can. You've been set up to win. Don't let it impede the next. What impedes the next? Our constant looking into Egypt, looking back. We can never see what's before us if we're constantly looking back. We can never see what God wants to do next in our lives if we're constantly looking back. Those people will spend a lifetime in the desert. I want to remind you that there's a needed an element of faith to trust God for what's next. It's not always going to come easy. Sometimes we have to make sacrifices. Sometimes we're going to have to walk on water to see the miracle. There's times when we're going to have to pick out the stone to see the giant fall. Things have to be done on our behalf. And at the moment, they seem like, oh man, this is going to have to be a God thing. But for the next, there must be an element of faith. And the church says, I want to encourage you to stand this morning. So today, as we close out this last Sunday of the decade, the last Sunday of this year, God is talking to all of us. There's a next. It's special for you. It's particular to you. It's particular to you. It's particular for me. It's particular for our church. Do you hear Him speaking into your life? Do you know that you're worthy of it because He makes you worthy of it? He makes you worthy of it. Jesus makes you worthy of it. Not on our own. Let us be careful not to fill ourselves with any type of wrong pride here. Not of our own, but because of our walk with God. Because we die to ourselves and we make Him King and Father of our lives. We have received an inheritance that says we're worthy. And He wants to give us the next because we're His children. Don't let anyone ever tell you anything different. You have value. You have value. You have value. Because of Christ, you have value. And God wants to give you the next. Don't look back into Egypt. You were delivered from Egypt. You were delivered from Egypt. You were delivered from those chains. You were delivered from that brokenness. There's no reason to look back. And if you continue to look back, you can never see what's before you. You can never see what God has for you. Never can see what God has for you. And for the next, there must be an element of faith. Trust God. Be faithful to everything that God has called you to be faithful to, no matter how hard it is. No matter how hard it may be. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't manipulate. No. Trust God. Be faithful in your givings. Be faithful in your time. Be faithful with the things the Lord calls you to be faithful to. Trust Him for it. Open up an opportunity where He can show you His power and His might and His glory. If we do it all by human standards, then we never open up an opportunity to see His glory and His power and His might. And the next calls for an element of faith. The next calls for an element of faith. Father, we thank You for the teaching this morning. For it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us and guides us every single day. I pray, O Lord God, that we would be open, that we would open our hearts and our minds to hear what You want to tell us. We embrace the next. We embrace this new time, this new season, Lord. With a spirit of expecting, oh God. We embrace it, Lord, knowing that You, Lord God, are handing something over to us. Father, forgive us for the times that we have devalued what You have done in our lives. Forgive us of the times, Lord God, when we have looked and thought that Egypt was better. Forgive us, oh God, of the times, Lord God, when we did not trust You for the next. Help us, oh Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you are here today and the Lord is speaking to your life and to your heart and encouraging you for the next, and you like prayer, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. Would love to pray with you this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, start the year off right. Ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. What He has next for you is greater than you could ever imagine. I promise you that your future days will be better than your past days. To walk with God is to walk in peace, and to walk with God is to walk in a security and assurance to know that He is with us. He is the next for you. Receive Him as your personal Savior this morning, for it is what your soul needs. And to the church, believe God for what's next. If you would like prayer, the altar is open. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.